वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। समवेद भक्तवृंद की जय। जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल। Hare Krishna. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14. Canto 7, Chapter 14. Our specific focus will be on text number 14. 7.14.14. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं दैवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवतीर्नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। So text 14 goes as follows. सिद्धैर्यज्ञावशिष्टार्थै कल्पयेद् वृत्तिमात्मना कल्पयेद् वृत्तिमात्मना शेषे स्वत्वं त्यजन् प्राज्ञ शेषे स्वत्वं त्यजन् प्राज्ञ पदावीं महतामियात् पदावीं महतामियात् सिद्धैर्यज्ञावशिष्टार्थैः कल्पयेद् वृत्तिमात्मना शेषे स्वत्वं त्यजन् प्राज्ञ पदावीं महतामियात् सिद्धैर्यज्ञावशिष्ठार्थै कल्पयेद् वृत्तिमात्मना शेषे स्वत्वं त्यजन् प्राज्ञ पदावी महतामियात् सिद्धैर्यज्ञावशिष्ठार्थै कल्पयेद् वृत्तिमात्मना शेषे स्वत्वं त्यजन् प्राज्ञ पदावी महतामियात् सिद्धैर्यज्ञावशिष्ठार्थै कल्पयेद् वृत्तिमात्मना शेषे स्वत्वं त्यजन् प्राज्ञे पदावीं महतामियात् सिद्धैर्यज्ञावशिष्ठार्थै कल्पयेद् वृत्तिमात्मना शेषे स्वत्वं त्यजन् प्राज्ञ पदावीं महतामियात् सिद्धैर्यज्ञावशिष्ठार्थै कल्पयेद् वृत्तिमात्मना शेषे स्वत्वं त्यजन् प्राज्ञे पदावीं महतामियात् सिद्धैर्यज्ञावशिष्ठार्थै कल्पयेद् वृत्तिमात्मना शेषे स्वत्वं त्यजन् प्राज्ञे पदावी महतामियात् सिद्धै थिंग्स ऑब्टेन्ड बाय द ग्रेस ऑफ द लॉर्ड यज्ञ अविष्ठार्थै नो यज्ञ अवशिष्ठार्थै थिंग्स ऑब्टेन्ड आफ्टर सैक्रिफाइस इज ऑफर्ड टू द लॉर्ड or after the recommended panchasuna yagya is performed kalpayet one should consider vrittim the means of livelihood atmana for the self sheshe at the end svatvam so called proprietorship over one's wife, children, home, business, and so on. Tyajan, giving up. Prajna, those who are wise. Padavim, the position. Mahatam, of the great personalities who are fully satisfied in spiritual consciousness. Yath should achieve. Translation. An intelligent person should be satisfied. An intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad. an intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yajna, or by performing the five different kinds of yajna, which is called as panchasuna. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. By such activities, one can give up attachment to the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a Mahatma. Purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nature already has an arrangement to feed us. By the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is an arrangement for eatables for every living entity within the 8.4 million forms of life. Eho bahunam yo vidhadati kamam. Every living entity has to eat something, and in fact, the necessities for his life have already been provided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord has provided food for both the elephant as well as the ant. All living beings are living at the cost of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, one who is intelligent should not work very hard for material comfort. Some people are already laughing. Okay, so I'll read that again. Boss is asking to work hard. We'll talk about that today. That's exactly what we have. How to ghumao your boss. Okay. All living beings are living at the cost of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, one who is intelligent should not work very hard for material comforts. Okay. So there is a qualifier there. Rather, one should save his energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. All created things in the sky, in the air, on the land and in the sea belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and every living being is provided with food. Therefore, one should not be very much anxious about economic development. And unnecessarily waste time and energy with the risk of falling down in the cycle of birth and death. So it is not said one should not be bothered about economic development. It is said one should not be very anxious about economic development. So the word anxiety pertaining to that economic development is what Prabhupada condemns here or cautions us about. So we'll discuss this verse. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Panghum Langhayate Girim Yat kripa tam maham vande Shri Guru dinatarinam Vanchakal pataro bhyascha Kripa sindho bhyayevacha Patitanam pavane bhyo Vaishnave bhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. सिद्धैर यज्ञ वशिष्ठार्थै कल्पयेद् वृत्तिम् आत्मन शेषे स्वत्वं त्यजन् प्राज्ञ पदावीं महतां यात्. An intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yajna, panchasuna. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a mahatma. So this chapter itself sometimes, you know, seems like an oxymoron. You know what's an oxymoron? An oxymoron means ideal family life. Ideal and family. Right? So we have to understand it in context. Ideal family life. So Prabhupada, this is a conversation between Maharaj Yudhishthira and Narad Muni and the discussion is happening for the benefit of all of us. Yudhishthira Maharaj undoubtedly was an ideal grihastha, there is no doubt about it. So this conversation is being triggered so that all of us will benefit in future from whatever principles that we can derive from this conversation plus Srila Prabhupada's purports. In Srimad Bhagavatam, without Srila Prabhupada's purports, we wouldn't really understand anything that's happening in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada's purports are actually more important even than the original translation, because without that we will probably misunderstand the way things can be translated in Sanskrit. So the essence of today's verse, of course the theme of the last few verses has been how to live life as a grihastha without forgetting the goal of life. What are the do's and what are the don'ts? Today's specific focus, Prabhupada initially talks about ugra karma. If you study Prabhupada's purports, and if you study the translation also talks about ugra karma. That's why it is mentioning the panchasuna yagya. We'll talk about that. Many years back, His Holiness Kadamakanand Swami Maharaj was lecturing in our temple, and somebody was asking Maharaj a question. Maharaj, how do we avoid sinful life? And Maharaj said, it is not possible. It is not possible for all of us not to commit sins. There are two types of sins, conscious sin and unconscious sin. Conscious sin can be controlled, but not unconscious sin. Anjane mein kiya hua, we say in Hindi, right? We cannot control that. So, ugra karma, even consciously, if you see, let's talk about consciously. Ugra karma cannot be consciously avoided in most occupations in this material world. The moment we step out of the door to earn our livelihood, we have started ugra karma already. Correct? Right? So most occupations, somebody was asking a question again a few years back, and this was a personal question somebody was asking to Maharaj, that I have got a job in Coles and Woolworths. So, what job? I have to scan. Pip, pip, pip. I'm doing that job. So I have to handle meat, beef, right? So what should I do? Should I accept or not? So the discussion was, what other options do you have for your own survival, right? So find an option then. If you don't want to do this, you have to find an option very quickly, because this is not a job which is very conducive to bhakti. It is not even in, it is said that if you distribute the meat of a cow, then even a distributor has to take as many lifetimes, as many hairs are there in the body of the cow. So just imagine what is the kind of karma we are generating for ourselves just in doing pip, pip. So when I heard that, I was very grateful to the Lord, saying that, oh my Lord, thankfully I am working in a bank where I don't have to do pip, 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 right? But little did I realize that the IT systems which we are developing is facilitating that pip, pip, pip. So then it struck me that I cannot avoid ugra karma, right? systems, information systems bring in efficiency in an organization to do what? To fund meat producing organizations. Very effectively and efficiently we are slaughtering the cows now. Who is responsible? The code developed by us is responsible. The artificial intelligence is responsible to do that. Right? The productivity benefits which we bring in through any innovation initiatives or automation initiatives or by cost reduction by cloud is all channelized further into all this Ugra Karma by the leadership. So therefore it cannot be avoided. If you really think, all of us are connected in sinful activities of this world, in some way or the other. Even if I say, no, I am very careful that the funding doesn't go to abattoirs. I have confirmed, and therefore I have chosen a department, or whatever you may say. But still, the moment you step into work, we lie. Correct? We lie. We are compelled, not all the time, but many times we are compelled to lie, right? The moment we make a presentation, we are asked to say, our company's products and services are the best in class. And we are giving you the best people in this project from the company. That's a lie. It's a lie, number one. And then, to hide all the defects, we have to bluff. That come out, correct? So, we say, oh God, when will this end? And then to protect one lie, to hide one lie, we have to tell another 10 lies. Correct? And after some time, after protecting, when we protect the interests of the company, may even kick us off when the company doesn't require us. Right? So we are living, this is our life. So we cannot avoid. We have to lie to people about salary, promotion, hikes. Because boss has already told, no, you have only one quota for promotion. Convince the other 9 people somehow or the other and ensure that they don't resign. So then you have to say promises, like the politicians say, you know, you are excellent, wonderful, awesome, everything is not about money, but we can give you more challenging work by which you can realize your potential and all that nonsense that is taught. Right? We rattle off all those things. Like for example, I was stuck in this Indigo Airlines, the world famous Indigo Airlines of India. Right? I was traveling from Mumbai to Calcutta to go to Mayapur. They said that the flight is taking off at what, 7:30 in the morning. Then same day before they said that no, it's taking off at 7:20 in the morning. So 10 minutes before. So I said, and I'm a stickler for time, right? For me, I don't want to take risks. So I want to reach the airport well on time. So I took the entire family, pushed them. No, we should be, you know, well on time. My wife is a bit different. She likes to go, you know, at the last minute. Whereas I'm opposite, right? So I like to go well in advance. So then we arrived at some understanding and said, okay. No, we call that as mandavali, agreement that we'll go at this time. Still we arrived well on time. And then when we go there, the board says, time will be announced. I said, what is this? And she looked at me and said, Bola tha na maine. Amesha, you want to come to the airport on time? Well on time, well before time, right? Of course, it is in my Khandani parampara. My grandfather used to go 4 hours before the train departure, okay? With all that food and all that. One lunch meal is already served even before the train arrives in the platform, right? So anyway, so we had this discussion and then the hostess was waiting. It was 7:30, 7:40, 7:50, 8 o'clock, 8:15, 8:30. She's just standing, people are getting restless. People have connecting flights, they have other things. This lady at the counter is amazing. She has been trained by the call center to repeat the same lines. Yes, sir, we are looking into it, sir. Sir, yes, sir, we are looking into it, sir. Sir, there are some difficulties, sir, but we'll definitely take off, sir. Whatever, you shake her, you slap her, you punch her, she will tell the same line to you. Same line, she will tell you. Same line. Yes, sir, sure, sir. So this is called as what? How much of Ugra Karma and curse she is generating. People are cursing her actually. Some people are about to punch her. But same, sir. Sir, I understand your problem, sir. Yes, sir, we are working on it, sir. So it will take off soon, sir. And then, after some time, they said, okay, when the noise levels reached a certain decibel level, it was uncontrollable, they said, हम आप हम आपकी अनाउंसमेंट करते हैं कि उड़ान कलकत्ता की अब बोर्डिंग के लिए रेडी है.
वी आर रेडी फॉर बोर्डिंग. सो एवरीवन वेंट फॉर बोर्डिंग एंड इनसाइड लाइक सार्डिन्स वी वेटेड फॉर वन आवर एंड द पायलट इज सेइंग दैट थैंक यू फॉर फ्लाइंग विथ इंडिगो एयरलाइंस वेलकम वी द वेदर आउटसाइड हु केयर्स व्हाट द वेदर इज आउटसाइड राइट. We will be flying at 31,000 feet. As if that was my concern. Was it? Oh, yeah, 31,000 feet is good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who cares about this information? But he gives useless information. At the end of the day, the only question he doesn't answer is what? When will this goddamn flight take off? That's the only question they don't have an answer to. They made us wait, wait, wait. And then finally, you know, after everyone was fed up, then they took off. Right? In fact, I heard the same day, one Goa flight took off the next day. Bombay to Goa. You can walk and reach Goa probably. It took off next day, right? So, we cannot avoid. You know, when the moment you go, I was thinking about that lady. I said, day in and day out, she is going through this. But then I realized, she is paid exactly for that. She is paid to stand like a pachyderm. You know what's a pachyderm in English? A pachyderm is a thick-skinned animal. You have to be so thick-skinned. You have to take these bullets. Like Karna had that astra, na? We have to have the astra of shamelessness when we stand there in front of customer, right? And keep on taking these things and go on rattling the same lines. So many people give curses to us, you know? Especially these kind of jobs. Very stressful, okay? Sometimes we feel pity for also that lady. It's not her fault. We know she can't control anything. Her managers have told her to rattle this line off, right? So, Ugra karma cannot be avoided. Now, someone will say, okay, I'm not going to do any job. Okay? I will use whatever money I have. I will be at home. Therefore, I will avoid Ugra karma. But that is also not possible. Elsewhere, Prabhupada writes in his purports to other sections in Srimad Bhagavatam that even if you sit at home, you cannot avoid sinful actions and reactions. When you drink water, when you filter water, you are killing germs. When you boil water, you are killing germs, right? If you don't boil, you will kill yourself. Then when you grind food, you are killing germs which are in the grains. When you are grinding food, right? When you eat food, you are killing germs. When you sweep in your house, you are killing insects and germs, right? When you are walking, you trample on ants and therefore you are killing. So therefore, even if you sit at home, you are killing, right? And maybe in this human lifetime, thankfully, we may not have killed, you know, we'll be saved against killing any human beings, right? And big animals. But these small jivas, God knows how many murders we have committed till today, right? So therefore, this verse talks about Panchayagya. But Prabhupada elsewhere writes, this Panchayagya has to be done to counter all these sins. But Prabhupada also writes, this Panchayagya is for ordinary men. What is ordinary men? Ordinary means people who are not practicing bhakti, right? The process of bhakti. People who are not sadhakas. So this pancha yagya and all these things have to be performed for ordinary men. Even if we were to perform, I don't know how to perform pancha yagya. Anyone knows here how to perform pancha yagya? We have no idea, right? So, but Prabhupada writes that it is not for us. Now why is it not for us? Why is pancha yagya not for us? Because the goal of our life is not to counter sinful reactions. That's not why we live for. We don't live to counter sinful reaction. Because to countering sinful reaction comes from the premise of fear in our hearts. Okay, I don't want sinful reaction because then I'm afraid that what consequence I'll have. So a devotee doesn't do bhakti out of fear of the consequence of sinful reaction. That's not our primary impetus to do bhakti, right? Neither our impetus to do bhakti is to become sinless in life. One is avoiding sinful reaction. Another is not performing sinful action. That is also not our ultimate goal. So because even animals are sinless. Just being sinless doesn't differentiate us from animals, right? So, the reason for our performing Krishna consciousness is to develop love for Godhead. That is why we do bhakti. Because when we perform bhakti to develop love for Godhead, dissolution of sins as well as becoming sinless comes as an automatic byproduct. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat achkinchana sarvair gunair tatra samasate sura harao abhakta kuto mahat guna mano rathenas dhavato bahi. So when we perform bhakti, an inherent characteristic, two inherent characteristics of bhakti is klesha agni and shubhada. Klesha agni means relief from material distress coming as a result of prarabdha, aprarabdha, bijam, kutam, everything. But the second thing is shubhada, cultivation of all good qualities in us. Qualities of the devi devatas dawn upon a devotee who is performing sincere devotional service. So dissolution of these things come automatically in bhakti. There is a conversation between Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadev Goswami at the very onset of Srimad Bhagavatam's 6th canto, 6.1. In that, Maharaj Parikshit is asking Sukadev Goswami, Goswami Pad, you have already described to us about Nivritti Marg, the path towards liberation. Right? You have also described in great detail, because 5th canto talks about all this Kumbhipaka and what is that? Vaitarana lake, stool, pus, urine, hair, blood, no, everything is there. So he said, you have already described all these hellish planets, you have also described liberation and you have described hell. But after I hear these descriptions of hell, then my heart reaches out to those people who are consciously or unconsciously doing this Ugra Karma and going towards this hell. Therefore, Maharaj, please tell us, how can we stop human beings going towards these hellish planets? What can we do to stop? And thus comes 6.1.15, one of my favorite verses. Kichit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agham dhunvant Niharamiva Bhaskara. So it is said that bhakti does not only burn, just by doing bhakti, it does not only burn your sinful reaction, but it burns the weeds of sinful action such that they will not sprout again. In Hindi, if I have to say, it says jad se ukhaad deta, the tendency to sin, or it weeds from the very root. The weeds of sinful action are removed. So it's not about addressing sinful reaction. So bhakti anyway has this. And it says, Niharam eva bhaskara, as easily as sun dissipates fog by its rays. Right? So this promise is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Lord Krishna himself says, Sarva dharman parityajya, Maam ekam sharanam raja. But he does not end it there. He says, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma sucha. He says that, abandon all varieties of religion and simply surrender unto me. Do not fear about these sinful reactions. Do not fear, he says. So the Lord is also giving direct promise in Bhagavad Gita. So, in the practice of devotional life, sinful reactions will anyway dissolve at the anartha nivritti stage. After that, what remains, even till bhava platform, are vestiges of aparadha. Okay, that is kept so that the devotee is kept in check till the person reaches the prema stage. Famous example being Bharat Maharaj. Even from the bhava platform, one can get attachments because of some plan of the Lord. But as practicing devotees, we have been advised to follow 4 regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. How much of sinful reaction and lifetimes we have saved just by doing that. So Prabhupada saved us with this golden instruction, which is called as principles of freedom. On one hand, we call it as regulative principles, but actually another way of looking at it is they are principles towards freedom from this senseless world that we are caught up in. So A devotee who follows these four regulative principles and chants 16 rounds, our primary concern need not be so much of sinlessness. Rather, our primary concern is about developing love for each other and therefore love for God. If we can't love each other, we cannot love God. It is not possible. It's not possible that I hate some devotees and Vaikuntha Viman is waiting for me. Come. You have been given an exception approval. So he says that, dekho bhai, I will take this Vimana, but that fellow should not climb. No, it will not work like that. It will not work like that. Right? If we can't love all devotees, it will not work. Right? We cannot have ill feelings for any one single devotee, because every devotee is loved by the Lord. Right? So till we come to that platform in our life, there is no chance of us going back there. Otherwise, what will happen? God will also think, you bring this fellow here, he will bring politics there also. I don't like this, I don't like that. This group will be sitting, that group will be sitting, they will not talk to that group. Okay. This is what is happening. Even Prabhupada also said, ISKCON cannot be divided from outside. ISKCON can only be divided from within. Even apparently, guru fanaticism can divide ISKCON. And we have heard in many areas, we have heard that this guru fanaticism, that these are disciples of this Maharaj, Maharaj has got nothing to do with it. It is we who have created, you know, all these things, because we can bring our nonsense into Krishna consciousness also. We have developed the art and finesse of doing that in a very subtle form also. Oh, which Maharaj you are initiated from? This Maharaj. Oh, this Maharaj? This Maharaj? You know, so the way they react, you will come to know. Immediately you will come to know what is going on in their minds. The way they receive the information, you will come to know. Right? So, we have to be extremely careful not to divide. Prabhupada has given us a big responsibility. He has given a responsibility. There are people who are dying out there without this knowledge. All of us collectively have to unite and go and address those people rather than doing business amongst ourselves. Right? So, therefore, our worry is not about pancha yagya and being sinless. We have much greater concerns that we have to address internally within our hearts. We have got the best process, sankirtan yagya. So we don't need to worry about pancha yagya and what all those things, karmakanda principles, right? Now, we talked about sin. So we'll take a step back and reminisce on what is the root of sin. There's no need to go in too many details. Most of you know what is the root of sin? Avidya. The root of sin is ignorance. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of who we are, why we have taken birth in this material world, and what are we supposed to do having taken this birth? What is our supreme duty in the human form of life? So this is, we have to constantly deliberate on this. We cannot say, I have been a devotee for 20 years, therefore I know all these things. Because sometimes we have knowledge, but we don't absorb ourselves in that knowledge. When we absorb ourselves, then many answers we get in our own life. Why am I here? Why am I suffering? What is my duty in this human form? Because our education system does not address any of these questions. What does Prabhupada say? The famous, our education system is simply preparing us for the slaughterhouse of corporate houses, right? Corporate houses are slaughterhouses. Bolte, aaja beta. What certification do you have? Come, kaam pe lagata hu, right? Sorry, I shouldn't use Hindi, but I'll explain in English. Come, my dear child, with all these educational qualifications, let me put you on the job now. Right? To perform Ugra Karma. So, this is what material education is about. So, a person who is only exposed to this material education, obviously his mindset is what? The goal of life is to achieve money, power, beautiful wife, intelligent children, successful children. That is the definition of success and that is the goal of life. To become very successful and put it on Facebook. So, the corporate organizational behavior principles also fuel that. Maslow's theory of hierarchical needs. Fine, it's a beautiful theory, no doubt about that. At the very bottom is what? Food, shelter and clothing. And then when that is achieved, then it becomes a hygiene factor and man seeks the next ladder. But even at the highest ladder is what? Self-actualization. What is self-actualization? Achieving one's own potential to the highest. Right? Achieving your own potential then drives you. That's why you see that even people, even Elon Musk, who is the highest paid personality in this world, wealthiest person in this world, he is also involved in activity. He is not saying, okay, now I have enough money to do my Krishna Bhakti. No, he is not going to do that. He is saying, now moon. After moon, he will say Jupiter. After Jupiter, then maybe, you know, these personalities will go opposite direction of that planet. Correct or no? Correct. So this is called a self-actualization. And there is another definition also. Self-actualization could be after doing all this, do good to mankind. So sometimes all these wealthy people, they become philanthropists. Now what drives that? Certain core beliefs drive that. Some people can be atheist moralist in this. Have you seen atheist moralist? They don't believe in God, but they believe in morality. They are nice people, but they say, I have nothing to do with God. So they are atheist moralist. Right? So these people, what is their full potential? These are the people who, after they achieve something, they'll say, now it is my moral duty. This society has given me so much wealth, so it's now my moral duty to give back to this society. So this is the atheist moralist conversation, right? And there is another category which is called as the pious materialist. What does a pious material think? The pious material has got some idea of God. He knows that somebody is up there. But the pious materialist thinks that the goal of life is to do all these pious activities and go back and enjoy in the heavenly planets. Do good and good will come unto you. Help others and you will be drinking somras in heavenly planets, associated with lot of beautiful damsels around you. Okay, this is called as the pious materialist, right? They have no understanding of spiritual life. So, however, practicing devotees, okay, do not fall trap at least to this propaganda. At least we know Prabhupada has given us some basics, so we don't at least go on that side. However, we are still not immune. We are still not immune. As practicing devotees, we have still, at least myself, I have not crossed the Anartha Nivriti stage as of now and come to the Nishtha platform. So, I know that I am not completely immune to material entanglement even at this stage of my life. Right? I know I am not immune. As His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj says very often, we are not Vaishnavas. We are what? Vaishnava Abhas. We are work in progress devotees. They say 40 kilometers per hour, work in progress. We are that, okay, go slow. Don't run too fast, thinking we are advanced. Because we have our legs on two boats. We have our one leg in spiritual life. We have another leg in material life as householders. Now, therefore, some of the nonsense that we seek in corporate life, we may seek even within spiritual life. For example, even in spiritual life, we may seek pride and we may seek position. Even in spiritual life, we may seek position. We want to be known as devotees who are materially successful. That also gives a kick to a devotee. No, because people will say, you're so much materially successful, but still is a devotee. Or he practices so nice devotional service, but still he's so materially successful. So that tag also gives a kind of a kick, being materially successful as well as spiritually being a devotee. So, and even as devotees, we may have some affiliation for good cars, right? Good houses, right? So we may have prestige of educating our children in good schools and communicating it very explicitly, right? We may have all that. Official positions, we may need that. So, we may even justify. The mind is so tricky. Mind will justify. No, you do all this, it will help in preaching. We may not be preaching at all, but still mind will tell that, right? So, as Prabhupada says, the mind has a constant propensity to cheat. So unless we have come out of the Anartha Nivriti platform, we are always susceptible to our conditioned mind and what it keeps telling us, messages that it gives us. However, the Shastras say that bhakti is independent of material achievements. Bhakti has got nothing to do with anything material, and bhakti shines of its own. It shines of its own. Now, while we may know this theoretically, till our spiritual practices are very deep, till our sadhana is very deep, we may understand it theoretically, but we may not come to the realization of this aspect that bhakti stands on its own and can independently give us happiness. So we will not, till the time we understand that, we will seek other items in our bhakti to keep us happy in bhakti. Right? So this has to be realized. And for that, the only way we can do is by going deeper in our spiritual practices, in our sadhana. So, we may be endeavoring very hard in our material life, thinking the mind is so tricky. Hare Krishna. The mind is so tricky, it will tell you continue endeavoring very hard in your material life, and we may start thinking that one day I will become a full-time devotee. I will work very hard now. Ek din aayega. And that day I will become a full-time devotee. When all my material accomplishments are done with. And then we can sit aram se and chant attentively. One day that day will come. Right? That is our mind. This is our mind giving us that instruction. However, the definition of akinchana. Akinchana means what? We'll discuss that. We sometimes think akinchana means becoming materially accomplished and then surmounting, you know, and then giving up material desires. But the definition of akinchana is not materially accomplished. The definition of akinchana is materially exhausted. Not materially accomplished, right? Exhausted. Now, material exhaustion happens in different ways. One is, we say in Hindi, laton ke bhoot baaton se nahi mante, we say. Sometimes we have to get slaps for material exhaustion. If our intelligence doesn't give us material exhaustion, the slaps which life gives us will give us material exhaustion. So, material exhaustion happens when our attempts at material success are hindered continuously. I have been trying and trying and trying and trying to buy that house in Albert Park. Every time pakad mein aata hai, chala jata hai. You know, sorry, again, I shouldn't use this. Every time that house which I want to buy in property, which I want to buy in Albert Park comes within my reach and just goes away by a little bit. I'll endeavor more. One day. And then what happens? Ram Naam Satya Hai. Ram Naam Satya Hai. You know? So we are taken. Where that, what is that called as? What's that crematorium? That suburb? Kya hai wo? Springvale crematorium. And there'll be a speech given there. Right? One day that is what will happen. And we'll be keeping on endeavoring, right? So sometimes what happens, material life will frustrate us in our material endeavors, then we'll give it up. Exhausted now. I'm exhausted. I'm done with, right? And that can be because of our own karma, because our karma, we don't have the karma to buy that property, or it can be Lord Krishna's plan also to exhaust us, right? Depends, right? But material life will definitely frustrate us, whichever way, right? Now, even if one is successful in that attempt, materially successful, in later stages of life, we will realize that even if we have wealth, we will realize that the presence of wealth can reduce only one aspect of our anxiety of life. No doubt about it. Absence of wealth can give anxiety. But presence of wealth only addresses that one anxiety about wealth, because life poses many other anxieties other than wealth. So we realize that. So wealth automatically and in of itself cannot give us the happiness we are seeking. So even after all the endeavor, when the bank balance is good, one may come to a realization that this is also not going to give me happiness. So the whole concept of economic development, that is why what Prabhupada is writing here in his purport, the whole concept of economic development, soon it will dawn on us after many years that it is simply a farce. There is no substance. There is no masala in it. Okay. So we realize that all this unnecessary economic development, again the word unnecessary is very important here. We are not against economic development. We are against unnecessary economic development. All this concept of unnecessary economic development that we are pursuing today, what has happened to all of us? We have lost our health. Valuable health we have lost. Right? sedentary job, sitting on that laptop, looking at that code. You know, at 55, I have had a cataract surgery last month. And the doctor is saying, you are very young for cataract surgery. Okay. Right? But what happens, you know? We're just sitting whole time looking at radiation, and God knows what's happening to our eyes with all these rays that are coming. Whole time we are on the cell phone, right? In fact, he told me 4 to 6 weeks off the cell phone. Don't take any calls. I said, what has cell phone got to do with the eyes? He said, the cell phone has got everything to do with eyes, brain, everything, because there is radiation coming from there, which is not good, right? So stay away from that. So, therefore, we have lost our health and valuable time in this whole life that we could have used in developing our Krishna consciousness. And by the time we realize it, we have lost enough health that we can't do as much as we want to do in our spiritual life. So the whole idea of this postponing, the mind is tricking us all the time by giving us suggestions that tomorrow, that tomorrow will not come. What we do today is what is reality, not what we have planned to do for a tomorrow which may never come. Right? So, in this verse, Srila Prabhupada is urging us to be proactive in our life. The essence of Srila Prabhupada's purport for today is simple living and high thinking. Prabhupada is emphasizing this point, endeavor only to address the basic necessities of life. Now, what are the basic necessities of life? That's the next discussion. What are the basic necessities of life? Roti, kapda, makan. Food, shelter and clothing, right? To cover our body, right? But we realize, if any of you have done home cleaning or moving house, that is the time you realize what we have accumulated, which we do not need. Did I really buy this? Something will come out. We are wondering. We look at it and think, did I buy this? I never used it. It's still lying. I never wanted it in my life, right? So, that's our realization. So, most devotees today, okay, even devotees have unnecessary things lying around the house. But another side of the reality is, even most practicing devotees are at a stage where we can afford food, correct? And we have a roof over our head. And we have clothes. Yeah? We have? Yes, we have. We know that. Then why do we keep endeavoring beyond? Even after that, why do we keep endeavoring so much? Because, as I said, of our conditioned mind. Our conditioned mind drives us based on our own samskaras. We all have certain fears, some purva karma that is there. Okay? And we all have belief systems based on all this, that we are very deep rooted within our heart. Fears, belief systems, right? So they drive us to endeavor even when logically it may not be required. There are some examples, okay, that I was just scripting as I was just thinking about this yesterday. It gives us fear that enough that we have may not be enough. What is enough for retirement? 1 million, 1.5 million, 2 million? Probably not. What? Maybe not enough. Right? So enough may not be enough. What if medically this happens or that happens? What if inflation goes on happening in such a way that tomorrow whatever I have earned may not be even enough for food, shelter, clothing? What if inflation goes at a faster rate than what my savings earn me? Right? So, what if children do not take care of us in old age? What if children say after 18, I'm moving out, I have got my own life, because drinking the waters of Australia, right? So children may move out, right? Because that is the norm here, right? That can happen. So what if I have to fend for myself in old age? That is one thing that the mind can say. So keep endeavoring. Or it may say, no, children are very good. But because children are very good, let us leave more for children also. At least I had to compromise my spiritual life in over-endeavoring. I don't want my children to compromise in their over endeavoring in material life, in their sitting and outside that auction and not being able to afford, or affording or getting into a loan which they anyway cannot, therefore they are over endeavoring, right? So I went through all those problems, okay, of taking that loan which was never in parity with my salary ever, right? But then I don't want my children to go through all the struggle, therefore let me earn for children also, so they are also covered. And then what will the mind tell? Let me do it for my, once you see that little, you know, grand baby in the hospital, grandchild, then they'll say, so cute. Corporate life? No. I will earn for you also, you know. So it will go on. There is no end to it. There is no end to working. No end. So sometimes that can happen. Or sometimes the mind will tell, as long as you have a position at work, you will get respect. Somebody says, what are you doing? I am retired. Oh, retired, huh? Okay. We don't want that face to be shown by others. Therefore, continue having a position. Rather than say, I am an executive director in this company. Oh, achha, and you are doing bhakti also. Very good, very good. Retired. Oh, doing bhakti. Then nothing great. After retired, I will also do. Anybody can do. Nobody is going to do. They will watch Sun TV and Star TV. Correct. After retirement. But they will say that they will do bhakti after retirement. Right. So, that can be a fear. Or we may say our impact as a preacher can diminish. If we are not materially successful. Or mind may even trick that living near the temple means we can do more bhakti. Therefore, it is good to buy in Albert Park area and take high mortgage. Because our bhakti will increase, right? Or bhakti will say, for me to preach, I need bigger house. I cannot afford in Albert Park. Therefore, I'll buy in Western Suburbs, but I will buy 5-bedroom. So that I can preach. The person may not do one program in this lifetime. But 5 bedrooms will be there. And 1 bedroom, nothing will be there. Because nobody knows what to do in that place, right? 5 rooms, why 2-3 people need 5 rooms to live in, right? So mind can take us anywhere. Ultimately, mind will say, no problem. Keep endeavoring, because excess wealth can be used in, you know, after all, grihastha dharma is charity. So you can give to Krishna consciousness. Whether we give or not, that's a different issue. Right? How much we give is okay. We may earn 10, we may give, you know, 0.2. That is a different thing, right? Strictly speaking, Rupa Goswami's instructions are very scary. Keep 50% of income. Can anyone do that? For bhakti purposes. What is the ratio? 50%. If you are earning $5,000 per month, can we keep $2,500 separate for devotional activities? I don't think anybody will do that. Correct, no? We all know it theoretically. But it takes something to do that. Right? It takes some level of advancement to actually believe in that instruction and do that. That's why at conditioned stage, it's very difficult to do that, do all these things. So our mind will keep on driving us endlessly in this lifetime unless we really take shelter of the holy names and we actually develop, go deep in our sadhana. Because only through that sadhana, mantrayate iti mantra, our mind can only be delivered by, through our sadhana. There is nothing else outside that we can do to deliver this unbridled mind. So, and quality of sadhana, not just quantity, not just I am chanting 20 rounds, okay. How much are we really meditating on the Lord? How much affection am I chanting my rounds? That is very important. And we all know that attentive chanting, our chanting is going to give us 99% results in our devotional life, because that is the yoga dharma. That is the yoga dharma. If you do that, what it's called as in corporate life, we call Pareto analysis. What are the 70% things which, or 10% things which add 70% of value, right? We also call it as ABC analysis, right? So what is that 10% of the time we do in a day which gives us 99% benefits? Quality of chanting, right? However, this mind is such a rascal, it will tell us to postpone quality chanting also. That also it will tell us to postpone. It will give us a date from which we will start chanting attentively. Correct? Does it happen? I don't think it looks like it has not happened to you. It happens to me all the time. From this date, I will seriously become focused in chanting. God knows what that date is. Now the mind is so tricky, it will tell you, look, you are sincere. I know that you want to chant attentively. But first, you solve your problems of life. Because then nischint man se, with a beautiful me, mind is only telling you, with a beautiful me, after having solved all problems of life, you can peacefully chant attentively. Right? Because am I not dragging you right now into your financial worries, into your health worries? So all these worries you first solve. Then you can sit and focus on Krishna. Like that. That is what mind will tell you. Okay. Now, then what will happen? If those stresses, whatever you are thinking of, goes away. Let us say office is wonderful. Health is like, you know, Virat Kohli's fitness. Everything goes away. All your problems goes away. The same mind will say, everything is going nice. Why do you want to attentively chant now? Because everything is going like, you have no reason to go back to the spiritual world. Material life is good for you. So when problems comes, that time you take shelter of the Lord. Hasn't Kunti Maharani said, Vipada Shantu Tahashashwat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. Let those calamities come. So see in Bhagavatam it is written, so when calamities come, you can be more closer and attentive. Right now you, after all you have been a devotee. No? So this mind will beat us up whichever way. Whatever decision we take, the job of the unbridled conditioned mind is to what? Is to take us away. To dominate our intelligence, our spiritual intelligence, right? So one day what will happen? He will come and he'll say, enough, both okay. I've given you enough time in this world now, right? Whole life you have been vacillating from this end to that end, both okay, abhi. Now time to come. Come back now. Come back where? God only knows where. Right? Maybe next lifetime. Which we don't want. Who wants to come back again into this material world? Who wants to come back? Yesterday I was talking to one student. That person was telling, I don't want to come back to material world because I don't want to do this VCE exam again. Okay, this is a realization. Deeply from the heart, right? Do we want to come back again? To come back and do this year 12 exam? And after that, do your whatever, engineering, MBA, whatever you may do, still what happens? Go to that first job interview and then work like a donkey over there. Remember your first job? Even if you are now materially accomplished, remember your first job, right? Anyone wants to go there as a novice and then they say, oh, welcome to this company. We are living in interesting and exciting times. Okay, there's lots of things to be achieved now. This company is going through a growth phase. You have joined at the right time. All these things, no? Do we want to go through all the nonsense again, messages, and work very hard, again take mortgage, again pay loan? So none of us want to, right? None of us actually deep inside, we don't want anything to do with corporate life, right? But somehow our mind is not even letting us go of something which we don't want. So therefore, Prabhupada advises, elsewhere Prabhupada says, we have to constantly hear messages pertaining to the goal of life from more advanced devotees. So now, solution time. We have discussed enough problem now. We'll summarize. What is the solution now? So, solution that we have been given, and what I'm speaking right now is based upon, because these are all our problems. This is our life, right? Whatever we have heard from advanced souls, what we should be doing is what I'm going to share. So the first is, we have to take guidance, we have to take shelter of and take guidance from advanced devotees. It's very, very important to be in association of very, very advanced, exalted devotees in our life. And we have that benefit within the fraternity of ISKCON. We have that benefit. So now what is about these advanced devotees? When we associate with them, what should we do? Most of our time, our mind is such a rascal. It will not even allow us to associate with advanced devotees the way we should be doing. When we see an advanced devotee, our mind will tell us, who is garlanding that advanced devotee? Why they didn't give garland in your hand to garland Maharaj? Who is driving Maharaj to the airport? Who is picking him up? Who is cooking for Maharaj? Why I am not there on this service? Because then by that I can come in front of Maharaj and tell, I made this dal for you. And therefore Maharaj will be very impressed with me. Our mind will not even, you know, give us the right instructions on what is the difference between privilege and services. Driving Maharaj to the airport is a service or a privilege? Let us be honest. What is it? It's a privilege. It's not a service. If we want to serve advanced Vaishnavas, we have to learn from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was not thinking, okay, anyway, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is going in a Rolls Royce. No, I will drive the car. No. Prabhupada started the whole movement well after his spiritual master left, because he wanted to fulfill the desire of the moment. So what does our spiritual master want from us? What does every spiritual master want from his or her disciples? Is to go out there and spread Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Not have a competition of what privileges or boast about our closeness with some spiritual master, and therefore try to gain cheap popularity within the congregation, right? That's not our goal. If we want that, no, actually Krishna gives it to us. That's the problem. He will give it to us, but the only thing he will not give us is taste for the holy name. The only thing he will not award us is with genuine humility. He will not award us that, right? Unless we seek it. When we seek it, there will be struggle. There will be struggles. But unless we seek it, we will not be awarded. We have to go through struggles to become purified, to become purified within ourselves. So it's a big Kurukshetra within our heart that we have to fight, right? But the good part is we have the tools, we have the resources, we have the tool of the holy name. We have the association of advanced personalities to who we can go with genuine questions, not questions to impress them, right? We can go to them with genuine questions. Every devotee has got their own struggles. So when we go to these advanced devotees, we can take customized instructions for our specific problem. Every devotee's challenges are different, right? Material life is giving miseries to all of us. But material life has got a beautiful variety in how it gives miseries to everyone, right? What is your misery may not be my misery. What is my misery may not be your misery, right? So all of us are struggling with some aspects, okay, in our life wherein we are not able to uplift ourselves from one level of Krishna consciousness to the next level. So these advanced devotees, that is where Rupa Goswami says, Dadati pratigranati gohiyam akhyati prachati, right? Confidentially reveal your heart and reveal your problems genuinely, so that don't try to impress advanced devotees through your achievements. Rather than them, go humbly, serve them and open out your hearts about really what is going on in your mind. Because to the doctor, if you go and say, doctor says, what happened? I am first class. I am doing this, I am doing this. If we go and boast to the doctor about our achievements, doctor will say, okay, you don't need me, go. Anyway, you look first class anyway, continue, very good. We'll get a commendation and then they will send us back. But genuinely, if we want to cure ourselves, we have to tell doctor, doctor, I have this problem, I have that problem, I want to really share with you. And then doctor will give you the right medicine. So associating with advanced devotees actually means realizing within the core of our hearts what we are right now. Being sincere to our own selves and going and revealing to these people that, look, outside I may put on all these pretense, but inside this is what I am. And then we will get the rightful guidance. And then we have to act on that guidance. Okay. So it's a big journey. It's a continuous struggle. It's a continuous struggle. So this is about customized instructions. So I will end my class now with only talking about what are general instructions for all of us. Customized instructions, we cannot discuss in the class. But I had the opportunity this time, okay, to when I visited India, to associate with some more advanced Vaishnavas, right? Here also we have so many advanced Vaishnavas in our congregation. But I had the opportunity to associate with some more, okay, who know me since many, many years. So I will just share with you what they shared with me, because this probably may be relevant to you also, because I believe these are common things, okay? So if it's common to you, you may benefit by that. So they said that regardless of anyone's personal situation, okay, there are certain general guidelines for all householders, regardless of the uniqueness of their situation. General things. All that general guidelines, whatever that I'm going to say, 5 points that they talked about, can be summarized in one word. That is called as discipline. Discipline or sanyam, we call it as in Hindi. Discipline. Discipline in our life for the sake of attaining Krishna. Discipline in our life that will help us every single day to take one more step closer to Krishna. We have to bring discipline in our life. And discipline means, what can I do which is in my sphere of influence? Right? Jo mere hit mein hai. What can I do in my sphere of influence, and there, and what should I rightfully then leave to Krishna? Right? What can I do in my sphere of influence, and what should I leave to Krishna? In fact, the whole verse, Karmane Vadikaraste Ma Faleshu Kadachana, is about that. What can you do which is in your sphere of influence? Do your dharma and leave the rest to me. But understanding that genuinely what I should do and what I should leave to Krishna also needs guidance. Otherwise, we will not know. Sometimes we may do type 1 error and type 2 error. Whatever we can do, we will leave to Krishna. Does it make sense? Right? So we should not do that. Right? And sometimes we may come in the way of what Krishna wants to do for us and pray something else only. Right? So type 1 and type 2. So therefore, Karmane Vadikaraste Ma Faleshu Kadachana. I was asking these devotees, they are asking me, why are you chanting? I said, when chanting, what do you pray for? I said, many things. I said, I am praying for health of me, my family members, this, that. They said, it's not wrong to do that because Krishna is your father. With your father, you can go with anything. Krishna is not going to punish you, because in fact, he'll be happy. At least you're coming to me, because after all, Krishna has said, Artho Artharthi Jigyasu Jnani. So it's not wrong to go that, but it is not the best approach of, it's not the best utilization of the holy name. So they clearly guided me this time that use the holy name for developing, only for the purpose of developing love for the Lord. And for addressing your material problems, be materially responsible. Don't leave everything, every problem should not be given to the holy name to solve. Holy name is not our servant. We are servants of the holy name. And in that context, they gave me a very beautiful agenda, okay, direction, which some devotees in Melbourne have also given me. But sometimes when you hear the same instruction at a different point in time, it hits you. I'm sure all of you have gone through that, right? So the idea was, utilize. So he needs attention, Prabhuji, I think. Sorry, poor thing, he's getting restless. So there's just two more minutes, we'll end. So the idea of spiritual life, the messages what I got is, use your spiritual life not to address your material solutions. Use your spiritual life not to address your material problems, rather to transcend your material problems. Use spiritual life not to address material problems, rather use it to transcend material problems. So even when they are there, they are not impacting your spiritual life. Don't use spiritual life to solve your material problems all the time. That's not the goal of spiritual life, right? So the 5-point agenda to conclude. First and foremost comes health. Take care of your health. Right? Many times we don't do that, right? What health? Spiritual health as well as mental health. Right? When someone is going through mental health, we are very quick to say, Prabhuji, chant and be happy. Nonsense. Okay, it's actually abusive spiritual instruction, right? No empathy, that's all. Just giving instruction. Chant and be happy, right? Does it happen? Are we all very happy chanting? Don't we, you know? We have to understand, right? So we cannot just, you know, say that chant and be happy. So take care of health. And Prabhupada also writes here. Prabhupada says what? Eat, be controlled in your eating. We studied it in Prabhupada's purport today. So this is very important. So it's not that because I'm eating prasadam, I can gobble up whatever I want. Eating whenever, whatever I want, whenever I want, how much ever I want. Because Prabhuji prasadam, it's after all transcendental. Krishna's remnants. Okay. So it is not that if we chant, we don't have to brush our teeth. It will smell if we don't brush our teeth, even if the holy name is, you know, very sweet. Right? So we cannot we cannot ignore our material responsibilities. We cannot ignore our material health. The body is a temple which will help us get out of the bodily cycle of life. But we have to use the very same body. So we have to take care of that. So wherever we get shiksha from, take that shiksha. Don't be fanatic saying that shiksha outside ISKCON should not be taken. Now we have to understand what shiksha outside ISKCON means. It means the basic tenets of spiritual life, you don't have to go outside ISKCON. But for example, if I have to take care of my heart, Bhagavatam is not going to tell you how to take care of cardiovascular problems. You have to go outside and take that knowledge from someone who is an expert. So there we have to go outside. Because everything you should not say, Bhagavatam has not said anywhere like that. Bhagavatam is meant for some other purpose, to end your cycle of material life. But how to live in this life, we have to take shelter of expertise outside. Prabhupada called that as ajagara vritti. Whatever research has been made outside, utilize it for the purpose of being healthy and therefore being more effective in our Krishna bhakti. So that's one. Number two is income. Okay, do not imitate Tukaram. Be responsible when it comes to income. Do your job properly so that you don't get retrenched before time. Take care of your job. Develop the required skill sets that are required to be effective at workplace. Of course, if you become too good at your workplace, they'll give you more money. So do not then get digressed from Krishna consciousness and fall in love with your skill and the prestige that comes because of your skill. Rather, if you become very skillful in your office, then you can say, I'm going to stop at 6 o'clock because I have a Bhagavatam class in the evening. I have to attend my Bhakti Vaibhav. Right? So your boss tells you, no, you have to work more. You say, if you ask me anything more, I'm going to quit. And he'll say, no, you are so valuable, don't quit. Therefore, align them to your ways. And that is why we have to become very good in material life. Right? So income for sustenance, becoming very good at our job and doing sensible investments in our life so that we don't struggle at old days that we have to work and compromise our Krishna consciousness even later in life. Third thing is family duties. Do not think family is maya. Having entered grihastha life, do not try to live like a brahmachari. Marriages will only end in different consequences, right? Marriage means responsibility. Husband has to do duties towards wife. Wife has to do duties towards husband. Together, they have to do their responsibilities for their children. Together. It's not one person's responsibility. So we have to do that, right? Of course, we cannot ensure anything, but we still have to do our duty. Karmane vadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Do whatever is in your sphere of influence and then leave the rest to Krishna. So, health, income, family duties. Then fourth important is sadhana. Because if we ignore the three, our sadhana can never be good. It will never get lifted because we'll be caught up with health problems, financial problems or relationship problems in marriage. And that will keep on disturbing our sadhana and services. Therefore that. And then finally when you have done all that, then we come to that stage. What is that called as? Janma sarthaka kari kara para upakar. Then you can go really and do true preaching to others. Because now we are at least struggling to be a good example. Then we go out and share our experiences, our success and failures with others and help others in their successes and failures to transcend this material world. So this is what is grihastha ashram, family life. I'll stop here and I'll ask if there are any questions or comments. Hare Krishna.
Yes. What's the real meaning of that simple thinking and high
thinking? Simple living and high thinking. My understanding is there can be many more realizations from more senior devotees that you can get. But simple being externally simple and being internally simple. External simplicity has got to do with living in modesty. Okay. Not earning for the necessities of life and only accepting what is necessary for our life and using the rest of the resources we have in Krishna consciousness. For example, instead of buying that Dolce and Gabbana or what is that apparel? Boss. You know? Yeah. We can buy a normal t-shirt. Right? Why do we need only hi-fi brands? Okay, and paying more for that. So this is an example of simply. Both can shield your body. Right? So that is one. Internal simplicity means not trying to be hypocritical, not trying to put on outside that we are somebody who inside we are not, pretending to be more realized than what we are. That is being simple. Being simple about who we are with everyone. That's all. That is internal simplicity. Because unless we develop our internal simplicity, as I said, the example of the doctor. If I go to the doctor, which is the spiritual master, and if I say to the doctor, I am perfectly healthy, doctor. Doctor will say, okay, thank you very much. Very good. You are a good example. Go. Tell others also to be healthy. While internally we are bleeding in our hearts. We are not. So therefore, being honest within ourselves, that is another aspect of simplicity. That's what I understand from simplicity. And high thinking is, as I said, the example what I told today, that utilize the holy name for developing love for the Lord, rather than only utilizing the name for solving your material problems, where the holy name becomes, we are seeking the holy name to serve us rather than we serving the holy name. Right? So in today's context, that is what my understanding is about simple living, I think. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thanks for a very nice session. It's a very eye-opening session. Thanks for that. Thanks. Prabhuji, just one practical question. You said that we need to approach the senior devotees, to associate with them, right? See, we approach them to get their realizations. If they say some word, that really touch our hearts. And that's why we really approach them. But when we try to approach them, right, sometimes they feel that we are trying to impress them, right? And they turn face and go. So in those kind of... Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
So when they do that, right, sometimes practical, right? We are trying to approach them, but they turn face and go. So what do we have to do in those cases? Really?
Okay. You have to understand whether that's a circumstantial behavior of that devotee or whether that is a consistent behavior of the devotee. So your heart will tell you actually who you should approach. Your heart will tell you that. Your intelligence will tell you that, who to approach. If somebody is unapproachable, there is no point in going back to that source. Okay. It happens. Because some people, they may not have the bandwidth or the time, or we may not have developed that relationship with them that they may want to guide us. For someone to guide us, we need a relationship with that person. Otherwise, they will not guide us. For example, anyone calls and says, Prabhuji, I have this problem, can I meet you? You're not going to give time because you don't know that particular personality. So therefore, shiksha will flow only when there is a relationship, right? Deep shiksha will flow only when there is a relationship. Otherwise, you can tell generally solutions to people. So you will have to really assess and develop those relationships with advanced Vaishnavas. That's why that verse 4.34 of Bhagavad Gita is very beautiful. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti tenenanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. So by our service to senior devotees, then we establish a relationship of trust with that senior devotee. And then these devotees will then open out and be available to you to give us that guidance. So if they are not available, that means that relationship is still not ripe. When a relationship is ripe, don't you think a devotee will be available? For example, if you are cultivating someone and that personality always is serving you, will you not make yourself available for that personality, come hell or high water? You will, right? So therefore, if somebody is not making themselves available to us, it could be either way. It could be simply mean that, okay, no, we don't have a relationship till now, such that they are compelled to give us that time, okay, or their affection for us may not be that high, so that they feel that no, I should drop other things and make this first priority to give this. Or it could be, for example, that they have all the right intention, but because they themselves are also going through a phase where they are also having problems. Please understand, it doesn't mean if a devotee is more advanced than us, that means that devotee does not have any problems. They may also be seeking guidance from devotees who are more advanced than them, right? That is also possible. So we should not be hurriedly, get into a judgmental position on such matters. Rather, have a frank conversation with that personality, saying that I'm coming to you because I really respect that, you know, your experience, and I want to take guidance in this matter. Oh, would you be okay to guide me? And you just accept yes or no, whichever way. If no, go somewhere else. There are enough devotees available who can guide. You don't have to always say that only I need to go to only one person, right? Yeah. Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.